defense and blood of the land. When the roll is called up yonder, I thank God for that little white ranger.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hoof, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, that's me. Welcome, everybody, on, what is it, Standard Time Sunday. You have really not been paying attention if you haven't set your clock back 1 hour already. Also, welcome to the last day of Virginia Film Festival Day. And I believe that there are tickets to be given out, tickets to be picked up. And a little later on, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But we are going to talk with our two guests today about Dropout. And we can do that thanks to RelayFoods.com, serving Charlottesville and Richmond. RelayFoods.com is the place to go for locally grown food and groceries from your favorite local stores and restaurants. You can order until midnight. It'll be ready by 3 p.m. the next day. Shopping done. RelayFoods.com lets you save time, beat traffic, and get the food you need from sources you know and trust. That's RelayFoods.com. All right, back in action here. Although I seem to have lost all my notes. Do you know what we did with those? Kristen, did you take those and not give those to me? We do have Jim Henderson here. He is the assistant supervisor. Let's try assistant supervisor from Charlottesville Schools. And we also have Diana Poe, who's from WALK. And I don't have my notes. So what's the official phrase breakout for WALK?
WALK is Work Achieves Lasting Knowledge.
And we're going to talk about Dropout today, dropouts and the dropout problem, because that's what WALK was built to do, is to reduce the dropout issue in Charlottesville City Schools. All right, now good. I have my notes, so we can do this properly. Dropouts in the public school system. I'm going to do that all hour, I hope not, with Jim Henderson and Diana Poe. Jim, let's start with you. From the main office, so you should have all this information in front of you. Statistics for dropouts. What are some of the statistics? Because Charlottesville City Schools have been accused of having too many dropouts. The numbers are too high. Can you tell me what some of those numbers are for Charlottesville and how that matches up nationally or through the state?
Well, let me begin a little bit nationally.
And you got to get closer. I'd love that microphone.
I think nationally, we're looking at approximately 1.2 million students fail to graduate from high school. Unfortunately, half of them are from the minority group. Nearly 71% of students from high schools do graduate on time. And from Charlottesville City, approximately 84% of our students graduate on time. So that gives you a little bit of kind of some idea of numbers-wise of where we are. 3 years ago, Charlottesville City Schools had approximately 17% of students were dropping out of school. Within 3 years, we've lowered that to approximately 5.5%, and so our focus is continue to move in the progress of helping all our students graduate, not only from high school, but with a focus of graduating on time, and that entails graduating within 4 years.
Charlottesville is often, whether or not it's fair or unfair, compared to Albemarle County, and the numbers for Charlottesville, certainly before the WALK program was created, and that's 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that WALK was...
3 years ago.
3 years. It was that Charlottesville had higher numbers for dropouts. Why would that be? Are there one or two aspects of life or settings that you can say, well, that's why we need to do something to fix it, but this is why Charlottesville had greater dropout numbers?
Well, I think in terms of dropout, if you have one dropout, you have too many. But given the population that Charlottesville High School serves, Charlottesville City is a small urban town. We do know that there are some characteristics of folks that do drop out of high school. They're more likely to be live in poverty. They're more likely to receive being in families that are receiving public assistance. We do know that they have most likely have family members that might be incarcerated. Children that are likely to drop out of school have been raised by a single parent. And so our focus is to take these and not make excuses for children that come with these sort of characteristics, but try to mitigate these characteristics and look at ways that we can take the child who enters our school system, not just at high school, but from the time they enter into our preschool program, and look at ways that we can provide the appropriate opportunities for them to be successful from the time they enter into a door of a school building in Charlottesville City until they graduate from high school.
That's Jim Henderson, who's a Charlottesville City School Assistant Superintendent. We also have Diana Poe here from the Charlottesville School System running walk. Is that true, Diana? Are you running walk? I say that so casually, but my understanding is there's certainly many people contributing to walk being a successful and ongoing program.
That's exactly right. We there's a whole team of us, and actually Charlottesville High School teams with us. We're also this year started walk full time at Buford, which is our middle school. And so there's a team there from the school counselors to the principals. It is absolutely a team effort. I have several teachers who work in the walk program, work with our kids. What's a little different about our program, one of my English teacher, for example, is an editor for National Geographic. My case manager is a former PR person HR person for HBO. I mean, we kind of come in a different looking package, but the number one thing for me is being able to build a relationship with the kid.
Well, you know, I jump right ahead to talking about walk as though everybody out there understands it. There have been a couple articles. There was a recent article in one of our weekly newspapers in the area. It was something that I read back in the spring in the Daily Progress about how walk received some grant from local contributions. But it's easy to say walk, this program, work achieves lasting knowledge, and it's something in the Charlottesville school system to help prevent kids dropping out.
Well,
but tell me a little bit. I want to know a little bit more in depth about what it is, but I also want to know its birth.
Well, I started several years ago working part-time for the city schools, working with group homes in the area with kids who were what I call systems kids who were in foster care or kids who were in the courts, involved in the courts somehow, either through a family situation or they had a PO, probation officer of their own. What really we found and what was interesting for me is that our kids had so much trauma going on. It was hard for them to finish high school. And so one of the things you will often hear kids say is you never will hear a kid really say, I want to graduate from high school and have a diploma. They'll say, I want to walk across the stage. I want to walk. And that is a big deal for some of our kids. For some of them, that is like for maybe you or me wanting to go to Hollywood or something. They don't see that as a possibility. And so you know, Jim and I were talking about this several years ago and really looking at how do we reach these kids, because in some ways this is our dropout kids. And Jim had been to an alternative learning conference and had really been looking at the online programs. And we started it on a small scale after school and had I actually brought it with me. We had six seniors graduate, just starting it in the spring of 2008. And it just kind of became a very fluid process. It kind of blossomed from there. We just started seeing what the needs of our kids were and started trying to apply a program to what was going on with them. And we called it Walk because that's what we wanted kids to do. We wanted what their goal was to walk across that stage.
Yeah, and I think that what built on this discussion is that with all the literature that's out there on kids dropping out of school, there are three things that kind of are highlighted in any piece of literature, and that is a student moving from the middle school to the high school. Ninth grade, we call it ninth grade transition. Is a high correlation for student success. If they have difficulty in ninth grade, they're failing classes, and then they get to the point where they're not graduating with their peers in 4 years, they're more likely to drop out of school. Basic skills deficiencies. If students are not coming into ninth grade with a good, clear understanding of English and mathematics, and struggle with those subjects, they fall behind, and then they're more likely to drop out of school. And then lastly, something that we kind of, many folks push off to the side, is social engagement. People don't realize that high school just creates an atmosphere of students becoming independent and wanting to engage with other students. I think it's even more evident now with technology that brings that social engagement out. And so those three pieces, if either one of them begins to impact the student beginning in ninth grade, then we need to be ready to figure out ways to move them, provide the necessary skills and necessary opportunities for them to get their feet up, back up, and move toward graduating on time.
We are talking about dropouts in the public school system here on Wake Up Call. Diana Poe is the coordinator of a program in Charlottesville City Schools called WALK. Jim Henderson, Charlottesville City School Assistant Superintendent. We sort of jump right into this conversation and mention alternative and online. So are the kids who are participating in the WALK program actually not going to class? My vision is you're sitting at home taking your Phoenix University thing.
A lot of people think that.
Yeah.
No, we have a classroom at the high school, and we have a classroom at Buford. It's a very interactive, lots going on in the walk room. It is not a computer lab, but if you were to walk in there, you might think it is because it looks like it, because the instruction is coming, the curriculum is coming from the computers, from the programs we use. You may have three kids doing math, four doing history, two English, all at one time. There are teachers going from child to child. The nice thing about this program is that it frees the teacher up to teach. You're sitting on the same side with the student, trying to figure out what the computer is telling you, what the program is telling you. You're a team with them. You're not, you know, combative. You're not standing over them. And for some of our kids, that body language is threatening. For some of our kids, they don't know what it's like to have someone team up with them.
That's the alpha part.
Yeah.
I mean, I had this conversation with someone this week about different topic, but the person standing up and looking at you while you sit is the alpha role.
That's right.
And if you aren't comfortable or you aren't learning or in the conversation of the other topic, you feel dominated and possibly not participating.
You can also feel threatened. For some kids, that is really that's the case. And I think that in education in the past, you know, you for some kids coming into a normal classroom and having a teacher up front, it is just something that is difficult for them. And so that's where the alternative learning comes in. Some kids need a different kind of classroom. You know, we've got food in there. Food is huge for Walk. Food unites everybody. I don't care who you are. I can remember growing up. I grew up in Oklahoma, and you could not chew gum in class. You certainly would never have walked in class with a water bottle. Can you imagine having done that? And, you know, just the restrictions that, you know, we put on kids that we would never put on an adult. You know, can you imagine going through the day not being able to grab an apple at your desk or something? So anyway, I just think that, you know, we've thrown out some of the things that we feel are just not deal breakers, you know, just so we can really focus on what's important for a kid. And if your needs aren't met, if you've not eaten breakfast, you know, if you're not comfortable, you can't learn.
Yeah, I think the online piece was to give us an opportunity to teach what was required by the state standards when we had students who were struggling in a traditional high school. But the one piece that we found over, not just when we began, but over the last 3 years, is that relationship piece. Putting the right folks in the Walk program who can make a difference in the lives of the students that we received. The number one characteristic of students who have trouble in ninth grade, have some issues with basic skills, who have engagement issues, who might have a change due to family circumstances, the one thing that got them through the Walk program was the relationships that we built with that child during the time that they were in there with us. Whether it was for an hour or 2 hours, it made a difference. And we took it upon ourselves, the folks in there, to, when they went into a regular traditional class, then we became their help, their support, so that they were getting assistance. They knew where to turn whenever, anytime they had a bump along the way.
And that brings up a really good point. We are in the high school, we are in the middle school, and kids are not with us all day long. They may go to all their classes but one with us, or they may go to two or three classes with us and the rest in the school. For some kids, they cannot be in a traditional classroom at all, and they have an abbreviated schedule with us. I mean, we...
Why? Why can't you be in a regular classroom with some difference?
There are some kids who are coming back from maybe residential treatment or coming back from a homebound situation, and we're easing them back in, and so this could be a good transition before they go into the mainstream high school full-time. For some kids, they've had a lot going on, and they only need two classes. And so we may have them do those two classes with us so that they can finish up and you know, go to Piedmont or do whatever they need to do.
What do you mean by have a lot going on? And what's residential treatment?
We've had children that, for one reason or another, are in residential treatment in different parts of the state. They're coming back. They could have a mental disorder, or they could have been in residential treatment for an addiction, or there could be abuse in the family. There is no typical Walk student. We have had students from every walk of life in our program. You cannot put us in a box or put our kids in a box. Everyone, no matter who you are, your socioeconomic background, you are not immune to hard things happening to you.
11:19 here on the Wake Up Call, as we talk about dropouts in the public school system with our guest today, Jim Henderson, Charlottesville City Schools assistant, done that twice now, assistant superintendent, Diana Poe, who is the Walk Dropout Prevention Program coordinator. We're going to open up the phone lines now. If you have a question or a comment, please call up 979-0919-1877-967-6762. markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's a sunny day today, highs 50 to 55. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the low 30s, even colder in Lynchburg, 25 to 30. Sunny tomorrow, highs 60 to 65. Right now, it's a pretty day, 34 in the Valley, 41 in Lynchburg, 44 in Richmond. Charlottesville, it's 44 as well.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's give a thanks to Blue Ridge Graphics for being with us today. Blue Ridge Graphics can be found at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. Online, brgtshirts.com. And also to Dixon Disposal. Dixon reminds you that you can reduce household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. Small changes in your lifestyle can keep our planet green for years to come. When Dixon's picks up your trash, they sort it and separate it for recycling. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. Call them up, 434-978-2111. All right, I saw the phone blinking. Dial back, 979-0919, 1-877-967-6762. Guests today, Jim Henderson and Diana Poe from Charlottesville City School Systems. You know, something to catch the attention of those folks who are listening, because you can talk all you want about school programs, but I want to find out about the success of the program. Tell me what has happened, because Diana, I believe you said five or six kids actually walked that first time around. How do we know that this program, which certainly has money tossed to it, is functioning success?
Well, last year, the 2009-10 school year, 56 seniors graduated. We served over 149 students with 128 credits, and that was full and half credits. You know, one of the things we are doing is, I don't know if you're familiar with credit recovery, but we do have students who have failed a class be able to come in and make up that class in our program. And so that, you know, helps us serve kids in a greater way, too.
56 graduate of how many? I don't have any kids in the Charlottesville school system.
I think we had this past year about 250. No, we had more?
Yeah, we had close to 320 students graduate from the high school this year. And Charlottesville High School serves a little under 1,200 kids.
Wow, that's 15% or so? That's yeah. One-sixth?
Yeah, that we made a connection with. Walk is a part of the high school, and the high school is doing a number of things to help with transitions into ninth grade. But as I mentioned earlier, is that when a student begins to have or has some failures in ninth grade and moves on to the 10th grade, and he's still remaining as a ninth grader, what we do know is that those particular students, without any support, without any assistance, by the time they get to 11th grade, they look at their credits that they will need at least 22 credits, and if they're not close, then they give up and drop out of school. So part of the walk program is to catch students early if they have failed a class, bring them into the walk, provide some support, recover credit, and begin to build a relationship with that particular student so that we can support that child as he moves through the high school and tries to maneuver through a traditional high school.
We did get a call from Rachel. You can dial up with your question as well for Diana Poe or Jim Henderson, talking about dropouts in the public school system and the walk program. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN rocks. Rachel asks that you address what's going on in the walk program in a middle school.
Oh, at Buford, what we have done, we just have an incredible teacher over there, and what she is doing is taking students who are having a hard time functioning in a normal classroom, who maybe have some discipline issues, and she is doing a third of the time reading readiness to get them ready for high school, a third of the time math readiness, and then a third of the time, which I love this, she is working with them in how to do school. You know, a lot of kids don't know how to do school, how to interact with teachers. They you know, are on the streets a lot, and they come in, bring the streets into school. She's doing some interactive role-playing with them, asking them. One of the projects they're doing right now, which I'm most excited about, is they're making a movie about what they would do if they ran the school. And the excitement in those kids to own something and to enjoy school is, I think, incredibly valuable.
Jim and Diana, what I envision are these teachers, and this goes back to the article that I read in one of the Charlottesville Weeklies, is these teachers who, this is what they do. It's not just their eight-hour job. It's what they take home with them. In fact, Diana, you were highlighted in that article. And I think, how different are these teachers to take their eight-hour job and make it a 24-hour job? It can't be just anybody. I work with enough people who know that, hey, clock out, day's over, see you tomorrow morning, don't bother me otherwise.
Well, I really believe that you are not a teacher until your students are learning. And to get your students to learn takes a lot of effort, especially in today's world. It is hard to, you know, just like anyone in the job that they're doing, you become involved with the people that you're around. They become like family. They become important to you. And to see people in pain, to see people who need help, you become passionate about trying to help them. And I would say every person we have is very passionate. You know, I have teachers who are taking kids to dinner. Amy Anderson, my case manager, who has more energy than anybody, just has been to Dairy Queen, which if you know, Dairy Queen is all the way out by Forest Lakes, which is quite a drive for, you know, lunchtime at Charlottesville High School. She's been to Burger King. I'm trying to think where all she's gone this week. But we have kids who traditionally have a hard time getting to school. So she's come up with a plan. If you're there 5 days in a row, you get to pick what you want for lunch. And so we have one young man who he's there early every day, wanting to know what he can get for doing that. And for us, we love that. You know, that is showing up in the grades that he's getting. We all, you know, a lot of people look down on that. You know, I'm 46 years old. I always have to have something to look forward to. I give myself incentives. I mean, that's just our human nature. Why would we not do that for kids?
Yeah. Also, the number one indicator for student success, whether it be middle school, high school that we're talking about right now, is teacher effectiveness. And what we've tried to do in WALK is to build that high quality of teaching with the staff that we have. And one of that pieces is relationships and creating that model. And because that model has grown, we have a number of highly qualified, effective teachers in the high school who are working with us and are actually moving not only their 6.5-7 hour day in the classroom, but are also working with us and assisting us in building relationships with kids. And so it's the WALK is kind of the locomotion locomotive here in terms of driving force, but it's about building relationships and doing what it takes to help kids succeed. I've always truly believed that if, as an adult, and I've been a classroom teacher for many years, is that if I failed, my kids failed. And so we've got to flip that out and do what it takes, mitigate the circumstances that many of our children come to the high school that we have no control over, and look at what's working and give them an opportunity to be successful. Because if they're not, in today's world, if they do not have a high school diploma, and even further, Diana will talk to you briefly about our efforts with community education. If they do not have a high school diploma, nor In today's world, 2 years of community college, their productive life is going to be diminished quite a bit.
11:30 here on the Wake Up Call, talking about dropouts in the public school system. Dial up with your question or comment, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free number. We are talking with Jim Henderson and Diana Poe from the Charlottesville school system. And including a lot of conversation here about the dropout prevention program, WALK. I need to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to do this today. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is now featuring the Columbia OmniHeat. It's a waterproof down jacket designed to provide protection from wet and cold weather. Columbia OmniHeat jackets are available at Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. They are the outdoor store that knows the outdoors. Jim, you mentioned something about the community, and dropout problem is a community issue, is it not? People often think about, especially those of us who don't have any kids and aren't sending anybody to school, it's that's them, that's their problem. They don't go to school, they don't get there, they don't get to walk across the stage. That doesn't affect me. That's something that they did, chose not to do, or happened to them. Tell me how I'm wrong.
Well, I think there are conditions. I mentioned that earlier, poverty being one, neighborhood conditions being another, kids with limited English proficiency is an area that they might struggle with in the high school, particularly if they come late into the educational system. Family circumstances is another area that could be related to a community issue. But the things are those are out there. But we have kids that have come into high school that live in poverty but are very successful. We have kids that come in with living in neighborhoods that might have some difficult times, and they graduate from high school. So what we need to do is to look at the kids who come from the same, have the same characteristics and graduate, and those that don't graduate, and find out what is causing these kids not to get through 4 years of high school. And what our work with the last 3 years and Diana's efforts is that the number one piece, and I keep harping on this, is building relationships with kids, building that trust that when a child comes in the high school and has some or experience failure, what can we do to move that child beyond that, provide the skills that he or she needs, maintaining that curriculum rigor, and getting other, not only WALK folks, but other teachers involved and helping that child maneuver through traditional high school and prepare him for life after high school.
But it's also, it's not just a school issue, it is a community issue. And teachers building relationships with students is so powerful and so important, but that child has to have a place to go that night and sleep. I think people in Charlottesville would be surprised how many of my kids don't have a bed to sleep in or aren't sure where they're going to sleep that night or if they're going to get to eat. For some of our kids, we just had a four-day weekend, so to speak. Monday, I think Tuesday was election day, mm-hmm. and Monday kids weren't in school. So that Friday was a horrible day for us because kids were anticipating being out of school for 4 days. So that's out of having some structure for 4 days, not sure where a meal is going to come from. Some of my homeless children were really concerned, and we were all scrambling. Unfortunately, there are so many needs we don't know or don't have the resources to fix. And one of the things that everyone on the WALK team would love to see is the community come together and we have a safe house for kids who maybe need a safe place to sleep one night. I do think there are things that kids need that people don't talk about, especially in our community, a very wealthy community. That's a great concern of ours because we have children every night who aren't sure where they're going to stay.
We did get a call here from Bob. We are talking about dropouts in the public school system with Diana Poe and Jim Henderson from the Charlottesville City School System. And Bob says, What does building relationships mean, and how does that extend to the parents? So we've spent a lot of time talking about the relationships between the teachers and the school system and the kids. But what about to the parents?
That's a great question. I'm a mother of three children. One's in college, one's a senior, and then I have a fifth grader. And they've all gone through the city or are presently in the city schools. And I know what it's like to have a child who is struggling in school, and you can't help them with that homework, and you call and you kind of feel stupid, or you feel, this person isn't understanding me. I know what that's like. For us, it's interesting. When we will talk to a parent, I often will have a parent get very defensive with us, and immediately, and my teachers, I've seen them do this too, I'll say, I know it's really hard to be a parent of a teenage boy, isn't it? And, just finding a common ground totally breaks the ice, totally, they just want to see that you're human too, and that you're not judging them for the problems they're having. One of the things I'm so excited about is we are teaming up with Piedmont to have parents learn more about future education for their kids. We're also teaming, and that would be a college choice. And for some of our other kids, we're working with the Goodwill Youth Foundation for work readiness, and we're working with parents in that way too. The relationship piece is important for the families, for our kids, and connecting them with other people in the community.
Yeah, I think too is that it's for teachers, it's building that caring relationship and knowing that when a student comes across work that's difficult, knowing that that child can go to that teacher and get additional support beyond the school day. I think for teachers, they need to hold high expectations, not dumbing down experiences, but to hold them to high expectations, believing that they can reach there, provide support when things are becoming difficult, providing additional time, being there for them, and working with them with, say, other teachers so that they're all in that same mold of helping this child be successful and being present in their lives.
But I think what that really looks like, what Bob probably really wanted to know, and I can give you exact examples, we give our cell phones out. That's just what we do. You've got to be accessible to your kids when they need you. If you're only an eight-hour person, then, do you really care? Are you really involved? And unfortunately, the bad things in life that happen don't happen during the school day. My teachers have been called at 2 and 3 in the morning. We have gone to the hospital with kids when they've had no one else to go with them. We go to dinner. Last Wednesday, the Paramount was so lovely and gave us some tickets to go to Anne Frank and to go get ice cream and take a child to that who'd never been in the Paramount, which is just so incredible. Just giving of your time after school. Our teachers have had kids over. Years ago, we gave kids swimming lessons in a pool. Anything you can think of, we're open to. We do a lot of dinners.
Gold stars out to Bob and Rachel for their questions. Keep them coming. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. Questions for our guests today, Jim Henderson and Diana Poe, as we're talking about dropouts in the public school system and dropout prevention program, a walk. Jim, everything costs money. Where does the money come from for walk? Especially since it seems like everything is being trimmed of money.
We use some of the money that comes into Charlottesville City Schools is for intervention that is managed by the Associate Superintendent of Schools. And some of that money is earmarked to walk because it's an intervention program, intervening to making sure that when kids are provided the support they need to not only to move from one grade to the next, but to be successful in their courses. We've been successful in receiving grant money just recently from the Community Foundation, and that supports our program.
The Future Fund.
Future Fund
gave us $30,000 last spring. It was their first grant they gave out. We were thrilled to get it.
And then Diana oversees a Title I-D component, and that money comes in to work with
neglected and delinquent.
With folks that could be in foster care, and we use that money as well as to intervene for our students in high school. So it's a small bit of money. We have folks that are working with us that are there because they want to be there, and are doing so with a heart and a soul that is necessary to help our kids graduate high school.
11:40 here on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, today's the last of the 2010 Virginia Film Festival, but The Hook has articles, interviews, and the full schedule of what's still on screens on Sunday. Kluge Winery is soured because of a $35 million crunch. Can the award-winning winery withstand the foreclosure? And Charlottesville's parking lot at the West Main train station is spreading dust over the area businesses. What's that all about? The Hook. Pick one up every Thursday in that bright red box. And support today also coming from Sugar Snap. They offer gently used baby and kids items, including shoes and hats, plus maternity and nursing clothes. Also at Sugar Snap, you'll find cloth diapers, nursery gear, and locally made items. A kid-friendly play area is available while you shop. You can find Sugar Snap at the 480 Shoppers World Court. Online, it's sugarsnapconsignment.com. All right, back with our guests today, Diana Poe and Jim Henderson. We're talking about costs for the program. Jim, have you had to be concerned about money being cut towards what appears to be a successful program?
I think in these times, we're always concerned about money being cut, and I think that it's how we manage our funds and prioritize the monies that we need as a division, and the division feels confident that the WALK program is making a difference in students' lives. And I think that as long as the city of Charlottesville is supporting the school system and we get the appropriate funds from the state, we'll continue to support the WALK program. But another thing that we've added in terms of funding, dropouts just don't occur at 9th or 10th grade. There are characteristics that might lead them to drop out when they are 9th and 10th graders. But we've invested some money into our preschool program, not only our 4-year-olds, but last year we added 3-year-old programs to Charlottesville City Schools, knowing that if we can get students ready for school and help them become proficient in their basic skills, particularly reading and math, by the end of second grade, we know that they'll more likely graduate by the time they get to 12th grade. So it's intervening when we need to intervene, but also be very proactive in the earlier years and making sure that our students have the basic skills that are going to help them through middle school and high school. I think that's a very important thing to look at.
One of the things in my reading of other articles about the WALK program, Diana, I read where the money is not all spent in the classroom, that, doctor's bills and clothes. Tell me how that's an important part of funding for WALK.
Again, we really believe that if your basic needs aren't met, you cannot learn. And we've had kids who have come to school, don't have anything to wear. We had a young man several years ago who I think what the police told us is he fell off the back of a coyote truck. And they weren't sure how old he was or anything. They found him in an abandoned house, and he came to school. And he didn't have anything to wear. So, you know, that's a need we can meet. If we can help with it, you know, we try to do that. We also had a young woman whose financial aid fell through to go to community college. And so we were able to come up with the funds to pay for the first semester. Actually, she went that first semester and is now applying. We just had her in the class Friday working on her application to Hampton University. She has a 3.3 coming out of Piedmont. So that was great seed money for her life, I think.
And that's a point that I've mentioned before, is that that's the relationship, is that WALK is helping students maneuver through a traditional high school, but once they do, is just saying, okay, you're out on your own. We're still there to help them beyond high school.
Absolutely.
Particularly if we can encourage them to get into the community education system. And we've spent time with many of our kids, helping them with their applications, helping them with getting scholarships, and we've had a number of kids that have gone into PVCC and have been very successful. Those are the kids 2 years ago, 3 years ago, would have dropped out of high school and would have not been very productive. And now they've got a future. So it's all about doing what's right for kids, and this is what's right for kids.
And, you know, studies show that if a child has one person at school that they feel is in their court, one person. And I don't care what kind of family you come from. My own son, I really believe, was successful because his wrestling coach believed in him. He had me. I run the WALK program. He needed more than me. And I do think, you know, it may sound trite, it does take a village. And it is important, I don't care who the kid is, to have someone that believes in them and is in their court.
Yeah, I state this often, is that schools have tremendous holding power to influence students to stay in school, and by encouraging stronger relationships with adults is the focus, and that's what we need to do. We need to mitigate the deficiencies that students come to high school with and lead them to higher expectations and to graduate them on time, and we need to continue to work toward that effort.
11:47 on the wake-up call. We are talking about dropouts in the public school system with two members of Charlottesville City Schools, Diana Poe and Jim Henderson. So how about we talk about parents? And certainly in this area, possibly not with some of the folks, some of the parents involved with kids in the WALK program, because I think that was mentioned about I step on my face making stereotypes. You have kids who are in the WALK program. You have kids who are in the AP programs who seem to get a lot of attention from the school system. What about the parents and the kids who aren't in either program? Are the money being spent in those two programs taking away from the kids in the middle?
Well, here's where I guess I would step on your face, too, a little bit.
It happens a lot.
Last year, I had 6 AP kids in my program.
Really?
Yeah. One was in the top 5 of the class. I guess I would ask or would want you to know that there is not a stereotypical kid that is a WALK kid. I mean, all kids might have a trauma that they go through. All kids might have something going on that prevents them. And let me give you an example to make it more concrete. Let's say you're a junior in high school, okay, and your parents divorced and you're depressed and you've had great grades the whole time, but that semester you are really actually clinically depressed and you start cutting yourself. And you've got to go to a hospital for a couple of weeks. And you're having a hard time coming back. That's one of my kids. That's a kid who might need to recover a credit because of the time out. You miss so much of a course that you might need to make it back up. That might be a little more extreme of a case. But you might be surprised how often that a kid has a traumatic experience that helps them get behind in school. And so we're there to help you catch up.
And I think, too, is that helping students stay in school, there has to be communication between the school and the home. And once we receive a student into the walk program, that's the first thing that we do. We touch base with the parent, let them know who we are, what we're doing, and how we can assist them. Oftentimes, if they don't show up, we'll call the parent and tell them we're coming over to get the kid, and just be ready for us. And Amy and I have been in the front door waiting for 30, 45 minutes until the student walks out, and we get her back into class. And so I think there has to be that communication between home and school, and the walk just tries to model that, and not only the walk, but also the very good teachers that we have at both the middle school and the high school, in helping kids do that as they enter into looking at graduation.
And I think that applies to all kids, kids in the top, in the bottom, in the middle, all kids.
11:51 on the wake-up call. Let me take a moment and thank Ben Around Tattoos for their support today. You can find them in downtown Waynesboro. They feature male and female tattoo artists. Ben Around Tattoos has thousands of designs available and can create work from a design that you provide. Ben Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro or in Charlottesville at 701 West Main Street. Go online, benaroundtattoos.com. The whole program that we talk about so far for 51 minutes, I'd like a specific, you know, the feel-good story. Tell me something about one or two kids who have succeeded. We heard about the Hampton University young woman, but I want to know a story.
Oh my gosh, I have so many. Which one do I tell? We have so many kids, and they
give me the monologue.
The
cornucopia of wonderful stories.
You know, probably one of my favorite stories is about a young woman who we met. I'm going to be really careful here because I certainly don't want to say her name, but she is an original. We met her a few years ago, and everybody was afraid of her, to be really honest with you. Not because, you know, she threatened us or anything, but she was so removed and detached. And when she would look at you, it was actually, you know, I'm talking about that.
I do know what you're talking about.
She was scary. Little bitty thing, but quite scary. And I will never forget Jim just kind of tapped her on the shoulder once. I'll never forget this. And we tease her about it now. And she turned around and said, "I don't like to be touched." And I think you were a little nervous. I think it scared you a little bit even. She has such a presence about her. And you know,
it sounds like that young woman in those Swedish books.
The dragon tattoo.
Yeah,
but she.
But that was probably the most she's ever said at that time.
At that time, she would never talk, and she'd wear her hair in front of her face. And I can remember she was a systems kid. She'd been in residential treatment. She had been at Blue Ridge Detention for a while, which I have to say, afterwards they told us she totally reorganized the whole library over there. I mean, she's a brilliant kid. But, you know, she was in our program. She had gone through several different, you know, things in her life that were very, very hard and did not trust anyone. And about a year ago, she came to me and was coming back from a long-term suspension and then had moved and then come back. You know, our kids are so transient too, which makes life hard. And she came in the first time she'd ever really spoken a sentence to me and said, "Can I need to be in walk this year. I can't function if I'm going to have to be in the traditional classroom all day long."
She came to you.
Oh, yeah. And I said, "Sure, you know, come to us." Now, I have to tell you, She now is the heart of the classroom. She has a little ritual every day. She brings tea to several of the teachers. I mean, she's funny. She is got to hug everybody. She's just a totally different kid. I just wrote her college recommendation last week. And she went on college tours with one of the counselors last week. And it's a roller coaster. I can't sit here and tell you, because it would not be a true life, that, you know, we fixed them, because we don't do that. But, you know, some days I see a little bit of the old her, and some days, you know, I don't. But I have to tell you, I think she's going to be okay. And we will miss her horribly, because she is truly is the life, mothering the whole class.
But the key thing is that as
oh, by the way, she has a 4 point right now.
As Diana said, is that we can't control the bumps along the way, but when they do have that downward turn, they know where to go. And we're always there with open arms to help them when a crisis might develop, or they need help with a particular problem in mathematics.
And she has gone, you know, just so I don't want people to think that walk is a destination. It often is just a stop-off point. But yet, when you're our kid, you're always our kid. We still go see our kids who now are at Albemarle High School who have left. I mean, we will always have a relationship with our kids. But she is only doing two classes with us now, and is in the traditional high school for the rest of her classes, which for me is a big success.
11:56 here on the Wake Up Call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Just a few moments before Drew turns up for Les Temps Purdue. So, Jim, let me ask you, Jim Henderson, Charlottesville City Schools Assistant Superintendent. The article that I read had a big monumental praise for Diana Poe. How do you continue to run such an important and, I would assume, difficult program if the leader needs to leave? What happens to the program if and when Diana Poe needs to move on?
I think that where we are right now with Diana's help and assistance in getting us where we are, I think if Diana left or I left, that program would still be in existence, because we have people that we have now put in places in the program. We've delegated responsibilities. They know what it takes to run the walk program. We have teachers in the high school who are supportive, and I think it's growing on its own, because it's making a difference. And I think when something makes a difference, whether it's just a little piece in time, then that piece has an opportunity to grow. And walk grew 3 years ago when we were only meeting hour and a half in the afternoons at Henry Avenue, and now we are in a classroom. We're part of the high school. We're supported by the administration, who have been very good to the walk program. Teachers have been working with us to try to figure out various circumstances that come about. So it's there, and it's there because it's built a trust among not only the adults that are at the high school, but also kids. And I think Diana and I were there to kind of get it off the ground, and Diana keeps running it and moving it. But I think that I think Diana would tell you the same thing. I think it's there because we've got people and that are working with us who want to come and work with WALK, and knowing the importance of helping our kids be successful. So it's all about kids.
So Diana, we have Jim Henderson here who, from what I understand, put the program together with others. And we have you, whose picture has been on the front of the newspaper, sitting here with us today, and you've got 45 seconds to talk about the people whose names have barely been mentioned, whether printed or spoken.
Thank you so much. Amy Anderson, Margot Browning, Julie Gronlund, who's a former school board member, Janie Stratos, who donates her time. Rick Waringa, who is a special ed teacher in the high school who runs our after school, these people,
Miss Elsie Pickett,
we have people who love kids and they want to have relationships with kids. And I do believe that to be a teacher, you can't just love your subject. You have to love the students. And we have that in our program.
Well, you tell Amy Archer.
Anderson.
Amy Anderson, apologize, that Forest Lakes Market is just a few blocks up past the Dairy Queen. And before we leave today, you and I will talk about how we will pay for those kids to come to lunch.
Oh, wonderful.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Next week, everybody.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.